Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. O God, O Lord of heaven and earth, thy living finger never wrote that life should be an aimless mote, a deathward drift from futile birth. Thy word meant life triumphant, hurled in splendor through thy broken world. Since light awoke and life began, thou hast desired thy life for man. Thou hast desired thy life for man. I believe that it is beneficial for a follower of Jesus to frequently consider things from the perspective of the grave, where the things of this world no longer matter, where the day-to-day problems that we all face are no more. Because from that perspective, sitting among the gravestones, as it were, many of the things that we think are so important end up not being important at all. Those many offenses against us that have shattered relationships, all so very petty. Considering life in the midst of death helps us to remember what is truly important, that God has desired to give us His life. Today's text is a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It continues us on that journey that leads from death in this world to life as a son of the Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go a mile with him, go with him too. Give to the one who begs from you. Do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." Three places in the Old Testament, there is this law that Jesus quotes. The first place that this is used is regarding when two men are fighting with each other in the presence of a pregnant woman, and the pregnant woman gets in the way, and one of the men hits the woman and causes her to go into labor. The law says that if her child is born and lives, then an appropriate payment must be made. But if the child is born early and dies, then the Lord says through Moses in Exodus, "You, the one who has done this thing, shall pay life for life. You shall pay eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. The punishment will fit the crime." In the next place, concerning a false witness in a court, the Lord says through Moses in Deuteronomy, "Show no pity to him. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." God hates a lying witness, a false teacher of His word. Finally, in dealing with people in general, the Lord says through Moses in Leviticus, "If anyone injures his neighbor, whatever he has done must be done also unto him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has injured the other, so is he to be injured." But in today's text, Jesus teaches us something radically different. He teaches us that a Christian is to give up his right of retaliation and restitution. When struck on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Do not sue, but go so far as to give even more. Be offended, but do not sin. When asked to give up your undershirt, give up the outer cloak as well. When a Roman soldier who had the right to pick any one of the citizens to help carry his load, when that rightful soldier chooses you to carry a load for a mile, go with him instead 2 miles. When the destitute person asks you for help, do not refuse him. Jesus is not giving us a new law here. Less important than the specific situation is what lies behind the prescribed actions that Jesus speaks. That is, a disciple of Jesus is to act like a child of the Heavenly Father, not a child of this evil world. Jesus would have us stand at our grave, considering the eternity that lies beyond that God has promised us, and realize that there is nothing in this life that we cannot forgive. Nothing that we cannot do or give to our neighbor, all because of what Jesus has already done for us. The Old Testament lesson said it perfectly, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." This is not command, this is promise. You will be holy. The epistle lesson said it too, "All things are yours." All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ belongs to God. Everything you have and everything that you have been given has come from God and is yours. If you give it all away, He will give it all back. Because He has forgiven us, there is nothing that we can't forgive. He gave up everything to save sinners. This law of the Old Testament, the law of retaliation, is no longer operative. It is gone. You have the right, but do not use it. All claims that men have against each other have been satisfied by Jesus' death. Will you put the claim back on someone's head? In giving up our right to be avenged, in helping the poor, in being a good citizen, in supporting the preaching of the gospel, we show by our actions our love. We show that we are beginning to understand and share God's perspective of this life. In the epistle lesson, he says, "If you think you are wise in the ways of the world, then you should become a fool so that you can understand what wisdom is." He forgave our sins, therefore we forgive others, but that's not how this world works. But it is how God's kingdom works. He has given us all things, and therefore we can generously give all things for the benefit of others. He loves us, so we can truly love others too. Again, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? If you greet only your brother on the road, what more are you doing than others do? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Again, that's not command. That's promise. Because He says it, you will be it. There's no specific command in the Old Testament that Jesus is quoting here that says to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Someone added that little part to the text, but it must have been well known in Jesus' day because He repeats it. He doesn't let it stand. He goes on. He says, it doesn't matter who your neighbor is. It hardly matters who said this thing either. Jesus teaches us that the Christian is to have a different mind than the mind of those who are in the world. The world says that you should love your neighbor. That's easy to do, the one who loves you back. And then it says to hate your enemies, and that's our predisposition, that we would hate those who offend us. But the mind of God says opposite. Love your neighbor, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. As Reverend Shehab shared with us this last summer, that's impossible. It's superhuman, he said. He considered that as he thought about the one who had persecuted and murdered his brother. He's right. It's impossible to do this. It is superhuman to love your enemy and to pray for those who persecute you. But it's more than superhuman. In fact, it is to be like God. For God has enemies, but not because He hates them. but because they hate him. He still gives them the sun and the rain. He doesn't just love those that love him. He loves everyone, even those who hate him. So it is to be with you. You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But this command to be perfect is not about your moral behavior, in a sense of living a perfect life under the law. It is about being shaped into the image of Christ, about being godlike, about loving your enemies. The perfection of the Christian is not a moral one, but the moral and ethical conduct is self-understood by the law, and it's not to be set aside. This is who we are in Christ. In other words, the law is not put off to the side and forgotten, but you are never justified by the law. It does not make you righteous. Still, if the Christian only loves the one who loves him, then he's no different than anyone else in this world and thinking like those of this world. If he only does that which is required, then he's no different than any other person of the world. The Christian loves the one who hates him, and in so doing, he is complete, he is perfect, like his Father in heaven. You may still have enemies, indeed you will still have enemies, but not because you hate them, but because they hate the one who bears the name and the mark of Christ, just as they hated him. The word perfect here in the English is not adequately covering what the Greek teaches us. The word is teleios. In the verb form, it means to complete or bring to a goal, a completion. We can even translate Jesus' words to us as, "You, therefore, will be completed, full, perfected, brought to an end, just as your heavenly Father is completed, full, and perfect." Paul's words should be ringing in your ears here. He says, "I am sure of this, that he, the one who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." God's perfection means that God has no unfinished business with this world. The account is cleared. Nothing is pending. Nothing more is owed. Or said another way, from the clear perspective of Jesus' cross, it is finished. That's God's perfection. Unconditional grace with no strings attached. So this call for perfection that you have heard from Matthew's gospel is first a declaration of what God is doing in you. What will never be completed perfectly in this life, not until the flesh is finally drowned and your baptism is completed in your death. But second, this call for perfection is a plea for you to be what you are, to be a Christian, a plea for you to be merciful and forgiving as God himself has been merciful and forgiving to you. We have been God's enemies. We have not kept his law. We have not acted like Christians in this world. Every time we have been wrong, we want the world to know it. More than that, we want the one who has wronged us to get the maximum sentence. We have not given up our tunic or our undershirt. We have not sacrificed ourselves for the sake of another. We have not even given of our first fruits. We have not gone the extra mile with the one who needs help. We have not helped the destitute as God has helped us. We have not loved our enemies or prayed for those who persecute us. We want that Old Testament law to still be enforced so long as we're the ones that are getting justice. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, our pound of flesh. We want others to live by the law, to be judged and condemned by God when they break the law, while we live in the freedom of the gospel and enjoy his mercy. This cannot be. We want to believe that we are moral and righteous beings, that our righteousness might even be enough to get us into heaven. But in this we deceive ourselves. Look at all the tombstones. No one is righteous, not even one. The wages of sin is death, and that day will come for us too. It is what we have earned and what we deserve. Not even the precise morality of the scribes and the Pharisees was enough to please God or satisfy his law or make them righteous. Not even the best of the best at keeping the law will enter the kingdom of God by their own righteousness. The law of God cannot be set aside, but a higher righteousness is required and it is given. This higher righteousness is not just more of the same. It isn't a plea for you to work harder, to be more perfect under the law. It doesn't mean a reformation of the sinner. That's simply not good enough. The sinner must die. That is, the sinner must be put to death so that he can be made alive again by God. Not raised up into the same old life that was the problem to begin with, but raised into a new life in Christ, a new righteousness that is only yours through him. We have been God's enemies, but he has never been ours. God sent his only Son to die for us, for our sins, for deceiving ourselves, for blaming him for our problems, for hating our enemies and not loving our neighbors. You were dead in your life in this world, and you didn't even realize it, missing something but not knowing what. And then God came to you in his word and found you. He washed you clean, and he has given you new life, perfect life, complete life through those waters of holy baptism, where he covered you in his own blood and gave you his righteousness, which is your life. Because of Jesus, you are holy and perfect, just as your Father in heaven is holy and perfect. Because your Lord loves you and has been merciful to you, you stand before the Father as his own dear child, and he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He prays for you in this life, and he has done everything necessary and even so much more that you would be saved. Since light awoke and life began, thou hast desired and given thy life for man. There's nothing worth comparing to this lifelong comfort, sure. Open-eyed, my grave is staring. Even there, I'll sleep secure. Though my flesh awaits its raising, still my soul continues praising. I am baptized into Christ. I'm a child of paradise. And so it is. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.